This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson. Singer-songwriter Courtney Barnett dives into tough topics in her music, like drug abuse, mental illness, and misogyny. It can feel as if she's trying to find comfort in discomfort. The Grammy-nominated artist has been featured in the Netflix animated comedy series BoJack Horseman. She recently released her second full album called Tell Me How You Really Feel. The tracks go back and forth between vulnerability and righteous anger. Can a person have both? Maybe at the same time? Courtney Barnett joins us with her guitar in our performance studio. Stay close.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Act, a flexible CRM trusted by millions worldwide. Manage customer contacts, track sales opportunities, and create professional marketing campaigns, all from your laptop or mobile device. Call 888-643-6400. Mention promo code NPR for a free Amazon Dot with your purchase of Act. Or visit act.com/NPR to sign up for a free 14-day trial. Act. Growth made easy.
Hey, it's Guy Raz here, host of How I Built This. And in case you missed the announcement, I want to tell you about the first ever one-day How I Built This Summit, sponsored by American Express. It's an all-day gathering for innovators and entrepreneurs, and we're hosting it this October 16th in San Francisco. If you want to find out more or get a ticket, go to npr.org/summit, and I hope to meet you there.
Courtney, welcome to 1A.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Talk about where you're at right now, artistically, emotionally, in these songs. How do you really feel these days?
It's such a big question. I feel pretty good, you know? I just turned 30 last year, and I feel like somehow that, I don't know, I feel like I stepped over some sort of line, but I don't know, it's still, I'm still lost.
Still kind of figuring it out.
Every day trying to figure stuff out. But I feel, pretty grateful and just doing it.
There are still people trying to figure out 30 when they're like 50. So
good.
Don't feel
that's
bad.
It
may take a while. Talk about the title of the album. Where does that title come from?
Well, it was a line in one of the songs before I decided it was going to be the album title. I really was working on the album title for a long time and not coming up with anything, and then that kind of jumped out as this really kind of flexible line that could be interpreted from many different angles, which I quite liked, it meant a lot of different things to me, whether it's something people have said to me in kind of complete earnestness or sarcasm. And yeah, it seemed like a good kind of all-rounder.
It's one of those things people say in a lot of different ways, where they really mean to hear what you feel, or whether they're like, oh, tell me how you really feel. It's one of those things people say earnestly and kind of phonily in the same breath.
Yeah, and I like those two kind of contrasts. And I think, you know, a lot of the songs that I was writing, like when I was writing, I was trying to kind of dig deeper and figure out how I felt about certain things, and so it kind of made sense.
We definitely want to have you play for us in just a few minutes, but I also wanted to ask you about another theme that appears often in your songs, and that's mental illness. Some listeners might recognize your song Avant Gardener, in which you meticulously describe having a severe panic attack that sent you to the hospital. If you've heard season 2 of BoJack Horseman on Netflix, it's the song that plays over the end credits. And then on the new album, Tell Me How You Really Feel, there are moments like on the song Charity, where you sing, you don't have to pretend you're not scared. Everyone else is just as terrified as you. Singing about panic attacks is not something most singers like to get into. That's kind of touchy territory. How is it for you having your work associated with such difficult, unpleasant, painful things? Does that bother you? Is that a badge of pride for you? Like, how do you reflect on that?
I think I just kind of take it as it comes. I mean, it's just me trying to work through those. I think all of my songs are just trying to figure feelings and situations out, very openly, and to whoever's willing to listen.
tell us about how you compose a song. What's your process like?
I think it's always a bit different. Sometimes they just take a long time and sometimes they're quite short, but I write a whole lot more than I play. And I don't know, I kind of just have books of ideas and poems and over time kind of meld things together. And you know, there's some songs on this new album that I kind of technically started writing on when I was 13.
13?
Yeah, so they kind of, sometimes they date back a fair while, and
what came out of your 13-year-old days that made it onto this album?
Well, it was more the musical side of stuff, not written, not kind of you know, words or ideas, but yeah, sometimes I think ideas just stick. I think if an idea sticks like that with you for that long, then it's kind of meant to come back and turn into something else.
When do you know that one of your songs is ready to record?
That's a good question. I think it's hard. I think I'm my decisiveness is lacking. So it's normally I'll normally leave it until the very last minute and set myself a deadline. So I know that I have to. Because otherwise I probably wouldn't know. I would just keep on trying to make it better and see what else will come.
Keep tweaking and like, oh, this line or oh, that note, I can make it a little better, a little more or something.
Yeah.
Do the words usually come for you? Does the music usually come for you? Like, how does the song actually gel when you're putting something together?
I think I work on them separately. I mean, sometimes I'll sit down and come up with something magically at the same time, but hardly ever. I think normally they're kind of, you know, at different parties, and then they'll meet at a party in between, and then the song will be finished.
We should listen to one of your tracks. This one's called Sunday Roast. Can you tell us about Sunday Roast?
Yeah, well, actually, this is the one I started writing when I was 13.
Oh, perfect.
good segue. We had to do a composition thing in music class in grade 7, and so I came up with the kind of basic guitar line. But yeah, since I've never been able to put words to it. I've always really liked it and come back to it, but never come up with anything. And when I was writing this album, I mean, I guess the song is kind of about it's like a positive melancholy, kind of uplifting melancholy. It's kind of about friendship and community and kind of coming together, sharing a meal together, sharing problems, and that idea of kind of, you know, I guess sharing the weight of a situation.
All right, well, let's hear Sunday Roast by Courtney Barnett. We'll continue our conversation with her after you hear this.
Throw them around me, some kind of sweet relief. I hope you never leave. It's all the same to me. Just bring yourself. You know your presence is present enough. I got a front row seat. It's all the same to me. I spend a lot of my time doing a whole lot of nothing. I know you're doing your best. I think you're doing just fine. Thank you. it's been a long week, and now you're taking your time. Some kindness goes around, some kind of backfires. It's all the same to me. Ignore that voice, it puts you down. You make your choice, I'm here for you. It's all the same to me. I got a lot on my mind, but I don't know how to say it. I know you're doing your best, I think you're doing just fine. Keep on keeping on, you know you're not alone. And I know all your stories, but I'll listen to them again. And if you move away, you know I'll miss your face. It's all the same to me, you know.
Back now to our conversation with singer-songwriter Courtney Barnett, the first person to break in our performance studio here on 1A. I love that. I thought that was a lovely song. I'd love to know more about how you found your sound as an artist. First of all, you performed this for us acoustic. Not all the music on your albums is acoustic. How did you make that choice, acoustic versus electric, and what works where?
So when I first started performing my own songs, I was about 18, and I would play acoustic all the time, solo acoustic, and kind of go to open mic nights and stuff. Then I started playing in other bands, as a kind of second guitarist, started playing more electric, and I think just over time I drifted more towards electric and was always trying to make a band, you know, to play my songs with, and it got louder and more kind of heavier and as time went on and I don't know, it's nice to have the flexibility. I think, you know, when I'm sitting at home writing songs, I might be playing an acoustic, or I mean, it's just always kind of different. I don't perform that much acoustically, but it's kind of nice to be able to mix it up.
I don't know if you notice this, and I do not mean to put you on the spot or make you uncomfortable, but now that you've performed, your whole demeanor is different. Like, you've lit up. I don't know if you've noticed this. Like, what do you feel when you're done performing? You seem differently lit. Do you feel differently when you're done performing?
Yeah, I think I've really noticed a kind of over time, a kind of difference with I think I used to be so nervous and so just get so kind of sickeningly nervous before I played, and I think the last year or so found something different, or I've just recognized this this moment of when I perform, of everything kind of making sense, and I feel like I can communicate. I don't feel like my conversational communication is ever, like, I don't feel like I can ever express what I'm thinking about. So performance for me lately has has been this turning point of that.
I know we're introducing you to quite a few people, reintroducing you to others. Let's talk a bit about your first album called Sometimes I Sit and Think and Sometimes I Just Sit. It feels different from this new album in a couple ways. The title indicates that that first one is much more narrative-driven, telling stories. Some of them are stories of 20-year-old men with existential dread. Some of them are stories of these kind of morbid road trips. Your newer work is much more like your having conversations, kind of thinking out loud. Why the shift? Was that an active choice?
No, I think I just kind of, when I started pulling together thoughts for the album, I would just kind of sit down and write every day, and I wasn't so much, I think I stressed myself out a bit because I didn't quite know what direction I was kind of heading in, but I just kept sitting down every day and working and writing and seeing what happened. And then after a while, you know, I started to recognize these themes that were jumping out. And it wasn't really a concentrated kind of decision, but I guess it was very kind of, I think I was talking to people around me and talking to strangers and a lot of it was more personal and kind of some songs kind of started out as letters to people in a way that kind of turned into letters to myself and then turned into songs.
How much of you is in the songs that you create? Are some of them just kind of stories and scenarios and characters that you have invented, or is most of it autobiographical music?
Yeah, I think the second. I think it normally comes from you know, experiences or observations, and I think I've kind of messed around a little bit with kind of more fictional stuff, but I think I find it easier to draw on experience and that emotional kind of connection that can bring up.
It's interesting you say that you find it easier. I think for some people, maybe who come from a different kind of songwriting philosophy, they might find it harder because it's so, like, you have to be naked in a way to talk about what's going on inside you.
Yeah, I think it's definitely kind of comes from it's vulnerable for sure. I think it seems to make it mean more, I think, or I don't know, it feels like it's meaningful.
Singer-songwriter Courtney Barnett will continue our conversation with her. Stay close.
Support for NPR and the following message come from U.S. Army Medicine, one of the nation's innovative medical institutions that puts healthcare professionals at the forefront of medicine. U.S. Army Medicine is an elite team pioneering new medical discoveries to make a difference in the lives of Americans. Army Medicine is your chance to push medicine further. Learn more at goarmy.com/amed.
I'm Ann Powers from NPR Music. Last summer, we launched Turning the Tables, a project that radically changed how we talk about the history of popular music, with a list of the 150 greatest albums by women. This week, we're launching Season 2, looking at the 200 greatest songs by 21st century women. Check out who made the list and who didn't at n.pr/turningthetables.
Back now to our conversation with singer-songwriter Courtney Barnett. Her latest album is called Tell Me How You Really Feel, the follow-up to her freshman album Sometimes I Sit and Think and Sometimes I Just Sit. Now, you are from Melbourne, Australia, in case folks hadn't noticed the accent. You have spoken in the past about how depressing and confusing to you the era of Trump feels. $1 of all your ticket sales on this U.S. tour will go to the ACLU. What about the political aspect of your performance? Were you always a somewhat political musician in addition to being introspective and philosophical, or are you finding yourself more political these days than you had been?
Yeah, I think I kind of avoided, or maybe situations just seem to have been getting worse, or maybe I've been tuning in a bit more in the last couple of years, or getting older. I'm not really sure what it is, but maybe just being a whole lot more aware of situation.
Was there anything in particular that made you decide to support the ACLU specifically on your tour?
I kind of saw and heard a lot of like good work that they were doing, and I think it was kind of trying to find a place to put positive energy, and that seemed like the best kind of option at the time.
Let's talk a little bit more about you. You are in a long-term relationship with a woman and fellow musician named Jen Kloher. You've done music together. You've played guitar in her band. How does being out affect your music, your politics, the way you present yourself as an artist?
I don't know. I think sometimes I don't think about it because it's just kind of who I am, and I guess it comes up sometimes, but it's just kind of part of my story. It doesn't seem like I'm, yeah.
How much, if at all, did music help you with integrating your orientation into your story? Did music help you through your coming out process or anything like that? Either your music or the music of others?
I'm trying to think of a something really interesting to say, but it just I think I connect with a lot of songwriting that's really kind of that honest and vulnerability, and whether it's kind of I think that's something I've always kind of clung to and tried to kind of do the same in my stories, I guess it carries through.
It sounds like being out was just part of life for you through the lens of just being open, being vulnerable, being expressive.
I think so, yeah. And I think my kind of coming out story was, you know, I was surrounded by like loving people and loving parents, and it wasn't it wasn't kind of too traumatic, or you know, I felt quite safe, and so.
At what point did you decide to make music a career? Was there a moment when you thought to yourself, "I might be good enough to make a go of this"?
I think I always was kind of trying to aim towards it ever since I 18, I guess I started trying to. You know, I was singing my songs in public to people, and that was kind of the first step, I think. I moved to Melbourne, kind of my early 20s. I was hitting up every venue that would have me to get on the stage. So, I think, I quit. The last kind of part-time job I had, which I quit so I could tour overseas more. I guess that was, you know, that would have been a kind of big decision to change careers completely.
What was that job?
It was a bartender then, yeah.
I don't know about you, like for me, you know, when I got into broadcasting, I always knew I wanted to be either on radio or on television, and I was on track to be a doctor for a while, and I finally gave up medical school. I was like, I need to know if this is something that I can do, and medicine is not an acceptable plan B. Like, I don't want to fall back. How do you view your career in music? Is this something, was there a point at which you just committed and say, to hell with plan B because that's distracting from plan A? Or are there still moments where you're like, I don't know. Let's give this another 6 months and see what this is like. Like, describe where your heart is at in terms of your commitment to music as a profession.
Gotcha. I don't think I ever have had a plan B. So I think ever since I was like 10 years old and started being obsessed with music, I don't think I ever really anywhere along the way of my education really had a reliable plan B, and every kind of job I've held down over the years has just been a way to survive so I can keep making music. Not that I thought music would be such a full-time career, but because that was where I wanted to put my just all my energy, and it's kind of the only thing that I cared about. So everything else was kind of was to make that possible.
But if you could have like a dream collaborator, someone who was like, "Hey, I've heard your stuff. You're really great. Let's do something together." Who's the top of the list? Who can we make a phone call to on your behalf?
I couldn't jinx it. Then it would never happen.
Oh, come on. There's got to be one.
But now I can't think on the spot of someone.
What do you do when you're not making music?
I think I got really lazy with reading somewhere along the way in my 20s, and I'm trying to kind of to allow myself the time to read properly, fall in love with reading again. But I don't know, I do write a lot, and it doesn't seem like it's kind of work, which is a nice feeling. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of I help run a record label back in Melbourne. So when I'm kind of at home and not touring or writing or working, I'm normally working there.
What do you do with the record label? What's the name of the label?
It's called Milk Records, and I started it to put out my first EP.
You started the label to release your own music?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
What made you decide to start a record label?
I think I wanted to just do my own thing, and and I didn't really know how else to get my music out into the world, and it was a kind of a way of making it appear more professional, and also just to make it available. Like, I would do shows and people would ask very, very rarely, then they would ask where they could buy a CD, and so it was kind of, you know, became this platform, and then I was, so many other kind of friends, bands were making music, and we're in the same position, so we kind of started releasing other people's music on it, and yeah, it's really grown over time, and it's really it's this amazing community of artists now, and yeah, I'm really proud of it.
Was there something about the prospect of having to go through the mainstream music industry that turned you off and that made you want to do it yourself?
Yeah, I think I was always a little bit kind of hesitant of just the, I guess, the more traditional way that some of those things work. I mean, obviously the really kind of commercial path, I don't think was going to work for me, or I was not interested in anyway. But even it's a strange industry to kind of be a part of, and you have to kind of you still have to kind of play the game to some extent, and I didn't really like that idea. So,
well, you, I know, have a tour to worry about and a record label to run, and I want you to perform one more song, but I do wonder where, before we have you perform one more track from Tell Me How You Really Feel, where would you like to see this go? I know you don't want to jinx who you want to perform with, and I definitely don't want you to jinx your career, but give me the outlook 5 years from now. Like, where would you like to be?
I've been thinking a lot about this lately. I'm really trying to figure it out. I think, I've been writing lots of poetry, and maybe I'll just be, I don't know, sitting in a cafe writing poetry, drinking coffee, I don't know.
As your fans come up to you and say, "I'm your biggest fan." What's that been like, by the way, before we have you play, dealing with people discovering your music, dealing with fans? That's got to be gratifying on some level. What's that been like?
Yeah, of course, I think I'm kind of that slight more shy side by nature, but obviously it's it's really nice when people I think when anyone kind of connects with what you're saying and takes the time to tell you, it's pretty special.
Well, you may end up with a few more fans after getting to know Courtney Barnett. Her latest album is called Tell Me How You Really Feel. She is going to play us out today with a song called Need a Little Time. Before you play that, tell us about this track.
This track, well, in contrast to the other one I played, this one I wrote quite quickly. One day I went out of town to go and see a friend's band play, and I was staying in this little caravan on the back of a empty block, and the sun was setting, and I just picked up the guitar and kind of started singing it.
Before you start singing it, Courtney, it's been a pleasure getting to know you. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks so much.
This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. Until we meet again, I'm Joshua Johnson. Thank you so much for listening. This is 1A.
I don't know a lot about you, but you seem to know a lot about me, so I'll take a little time out. I'll take a little time out. I'm sorry that I lost my patience. You deserve better, it's true. I need a little time out. I need a little time out from me, 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 and you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Open up your inside, show us your innermost, lecherous. I'll rip it out carefully. I promise you won't feel a thing. Everybody wants to have their say. Forever waiting for some car crash. I need a little time out. I need a little time out from me, 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 and you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Emotionally, it's not that different, but to the hand, it's beautiful. Yeah, to the hand, it's beautiful. You seem to have the weight of the world upon your bony shoulders. Well, hold on, you need a little time out. You need a little time out from you.